This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
118 right here on Grant and Danny. We're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Nationals take on the Marlins August 29th, 4 days away, at Nats Park. You got to be listening if you want your chance for those tickets. By the way, that day, the first 25,000 people in the stadium are getting a limited edition starting lineup Bryce Harper action figure. So by winning these tickets, you're actually winning that action figure
nice.
As well. Make sure you're listening in 15 minutes. Right now, let's go to the hotline. Welcome on to the show, Craig Hoffman, one of our Redskins reporters, for the latest on the team as they get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. Craig, we just heard Jay Gruden's cut in that update on Jordan Reed. He didn't seem like he's as interested in seeing Reed as much as he is in seeing Gallette this preseason. Is that kind of the read, the feel you've got on it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, Junior Gallette obviously hasn't played in 2 years, and to get him out in a game situation is something that not only Jay said is really important, but Greg Minuski told us he thinks it's really, really important for Gallette to get out there. And so I would not even be surprised if Gallette, if he can't go this week, goes in the fourth preseason game so they can get him some game action. Jordan Reed just has to put on cleats and go play football because he's that damn good at it. Like, it's ridiculous how good this guy is. He just gets back out there in every, you know, one-on-one situation that we get to see, or every, you know, almost tall tale that we hear from other players is that he's just back, and it's like he missed no time at all. Terrell Pryor talked about how there's one route concept where he and Jordan wind up running the same route, and he wanted to work on it with Kirk after practice, and they threw about 10 balls each, Kirk 10 to Reed, 10 to Pryor. And to Pryor, the timing wasn't quite there. And to Reed, it was 9 of 10, like it was nothing. And it's just, it's like they missed no time. And so I don't really think it's that important for Reed to play in the preseason. He might be the only player on this roster that I feel really comfortable saying that about.
Craig, fast forward Sunday night. It's called maybe 9 o'clock. Jay takes the podium, and he's pleased. He's thrilled. Give me the checklist of those things that need to happen so that Jay is pleased postgame.
Well, Danny, number one is the same thing that's going to make you pleased and thrilled, and that is that they ran the football better. And, you know, you can't get much worse, which, but it's got to be a lot better. Like, it can't just be like, oh, we got to 2.5 yards per carry after 2.2. They got to run the ball for 3.5 yards a carry, 4 yards a carry. Maybe four is then he's elated. But to be pleased, like, you got to get, you know, 3.5-ish yards a carry to where you're staying on schedule, you're in 2nd and 7, 3rd and 4, that kind of area. Your play action game's effective. I think that's number one objective offensively for him in this game. I think obviously if they don't turn the football over, that always is going to make a coach happy that they clean up some of the details that really always get attributed back to coaching. I don't think Jay necessarily cares about the credit or blame, but these are the things that coaches care about. It's, you know, are you clean on your assignments? Are you doing the right thing? Are you holding on to the football? Is Kirk making the right decisions? I think those are the things that he's really looking for. Is there a Christmas to this offense that you haven't seen yet and that you would like to see before the regular season? And then defensively, I think it's, you know, pretty much nobody gets hurt and nothing, you know, catastrophic happens, you know, in terms of field repercussions. You know, they're not giving up big plays. Basically, they keep playing like they have been the first couple of preseason games, because for as bad as the offense has been, the defense has been rather effective, with the exception of Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, which isn't really a fair fight.
Greg Hoffman is with us on Grant and Danny. Rob Kelly, Chris Thompson, Samaje Perine, Matt Jones, Mac Brown. All the running backs on this depth chart that I'm interested in. Let's break down that position. Does Kelly have to play well this week? Did Perine close the gap? Is Jones just going to get cut at the end of this thing? Break that all down.
So I think Perine closed the gap, but I don't think he's anywhere close enough that he's potentially your starter week one. Could he start later in the season if things continue to roll where Kelly's not getting anything and Perine is effective? Yes, absolutely. But we're not there yet. And I think from a comfort level of all the other things that you have to do as a running back in this offense in terms of being a receiver. And it's not just the ability to literally catch the football. It's knowing all the routes and how they're supposed to be run and all that kind of stuff. And then being in pass protection, I think Kelly still has a substantial lead for the RB1 spot. Chris Thompson's in a box on his own. He's fine. We can just compliment the hell out of Chris because he's great, or we can just say he's great and move on. The other guys, Matt Jones, I still think he's probably likely not making this team, although Mac Brown had zero carries last week. Matt Jones had two. Mac Brown had zero. Brown did have 19 plays offensively, which is more than Jones, and he did have a catch, but they have not run Mac Brown very much this preseason at all, and that's been moderately surprising because he's been very effective as a runner in previous preseasons and even in regular season opportunities. But I think with the special teams edge and maybe even from a pass pro and all that kind of stuff, Mac feels a lot more comfortable now. So it seems like he's a safer pick for that fourth running back spot behind P. Ryan Thompson and Rob Kelly.
Be a 90s Spike Lee movie and do the right thing and follow our buddy Craig Hoffman on Twitter, at Craig Hoffman. Craig, Cousin Chase Roullier thrown into the fire here against a pretty nasty Eagles front on week one. It looks like if that kind of holds form and holds true, what does he need to do to show that he can do the gig? That's, of course, if Long isn't ready to jump in. But he's going to get thrown to the fire here this week. How much room does he have to grow? What do you expect from him? And how big a deal is it that he plays well?
Well, this week is no treat either. Getting Geno Atkins in your face is a heck of a welcome to the NFL in the first string. So I would say, like, if he gets beat a couple times by Geno Atkins, let's not freak out, because that's like the defense last week struggling against Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's Aaron Rodgers. This is Geno Atkins. He's one of the best interior linemen in the NFL. You know, he's probably on a top three list with, like, Aaron Donald and Gerald McCoy for top three interior linemen in the league. So, you know, can he hold up against that quality on a down in, down out basis, or is he getting absolutely whipped on a down in, down out basis versus, you know, okay, he gave up a couple of pressures or gave up one really bad one, but it's Geno Atkins, we understand. So I think that's kind of what I'm looking for from him this week. And then the bigger thing, outside of that one-on-one physical performance, does he feel comfortable calling the scheme? Does he feel comfortable aligning, you know, saying, hey, that guy's the Mike linebacker, and thus aligning the entire blocking scheme for run or pass? And so all these missed targets and things like that have been happening in the running game, and he's had a couple in the pass game too, can start to go away and hopefully completely go away. So it's a comfort to do that, which Kirk can help him with. Kirk being a third-year starter in the system now and playing in the system ever since Jay has gotten here, has a much, much better understanding. So he can be of assistance there, but I think Chase Roullier has to really show a command of what his responsibilities are before the snap, nevertheless perform after the ball is snapped.
Where are we at on Ryan Anderson starting to get late early in terms of just getting him fully up to speed, plus the Trent Murphy injury? He's going to be important, and he wasn't able to go last week.
Yeah, and he was in individual drill today. Jay should be talking here in about 20 minutes or so. I'll send a carrier pigeon back to the station with what Jay says in terms of his participation today. Yesterday, we were told he did a little less than he did on Wednesday, which is never a good sign to trend the wrong way. But Jay is hoping that, you know, today would be better. Tomorrow, he'll be able to go through the walkthrough that they're having at Joint Base Andrews, and then a good pregame warm-up, and I think he plays on Sunday. I think he's more in the Gallet category if they really want to get him on the field compared to Jordan Reed, who they're fine with not getting any preseason action if that were to be the best, you know, medical decision. But, yeah, I mean, this is a guy that needs reps and is now going to be not just needed in the first four games, but is now going to be needed all season long with Trent Murphy out, and he's a rookie. Like, he may have played in a really complex defense by collegiate standards at Alabama, and he might be really, really mean, which we love in football players, but the other guys that he's going to have to pass rush against and cover and all these kinds of things are mean and highly paid and highly skilled too. So he's still a rookie, and he's got a long way to go.
Who can really help themselves this Sunday? Or do you think we're all pretty much locked in and we kind of know what sort of the coaches do at least? Who can really do something maybe to elevate themselves here on Sunday, Craig? If anybody.
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like a lot of these position battles are all but decided, and that goes from, like, inside linebacker. Like, if Will Compton goes out and plays with his hair on fire, could he maybe get himself some more snaps? Yeah, but it looks like at this point they're going Foster and Brown. Like, even on the outside, like, I feel pretty comfortable saying Chris Carter is probably going to be, like, the last linebacker on the outside on this roster, but, you know, maybe a guy like Lyndon Trail, does he work his way in and make that more of a competition? Or some of the younger guys. Like, I think there's some of those fringe roster spots that may be a guy, but there's been pretty well consistent, you know, reps in terms of who is on the first, second, third, fourth string throughout the preseason. And a lot of these guys have maintained wherever their standing is in the game. And so I don't know that there's a great answer to that, which is odd going into the third preseason game. Like, in a way, that's its own story, that there doesn't seem to be anything truly up for grabs. But maybe like a guy like Brian Quick, can he solidify a roster spot as one of the back-end wide receivers over some younger players that may have some more upside? And, you know, maybe that's a risk they take and say, look, we'll take the veteran and feel comfortable with him and hope we can get these young guys through the practice squad. But I actually don't feel like there's someone who needs to have a great day. Like, they're within that gap, that range where a great day on Sunday could really change their outlook for this roster for this season.
I love Quick size, so I'd be perfectly okay with that. Craig Hoffman's on Twitter. You should follow him not only throughout the weekend for Redskins news and, of course, during the game, but throughout the season at Craig Hoffman is where you can find him. Thanks so much, buddy. We appreciate the
time.
We'll
see you, pal.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.
You bet. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. You just heard him alluding to Sunday's game against Cincinnati. It's at FedEx Field. It's a home preseason exhibition where they are tuning up. It's the dress rehearsal. Probably the last time we'll see starters before the regular year if Jay Gruden sticks to his plan from previous preseasons. What's your number one storyline you care the most about this Sunday? On Sunday, you most want to see what? Grant and Danny on The Fan will answer that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.